All right. Well,
That's about it.
happy Palm Sunday to church. We got these palms here. We ordered them a few months ago, thinking we'd be handing them out to all of you. But, well, here we are. They're all sitting in our house instead. But these were beautifully arranged by Tawny and dropped off, so we hope you're enjoying them. There's palms and palm strings all over our house, as you can imagine. But, well, good morning. How is everybody this morning? Thanks for those of you who joined our lobby time at 9:45 a.m. It was great to have you, and we'll try to do that a little more regularly as we go on, just a chance to interact and fellowship a little bit more. Well, welcome to Communion Sunday live on Facebook Live. And there's no other recorded material for this morning's service except a kids activity that's already been sent out that you can find on Facebook. But we thought Communion Sunday would be a cool opportunity to just be together and share a little bit more informally and devotionally. So I'm gonna read and share briefly on our text in John as we continue our series, Confused Over Christ, and then we'll go into communion together. So if you don't have your juice or water or bread ready, you can get that ready. If you have kids with you, we encourage you to bring them in when we do communion, and we'll have a short kids teaching with that as well. And then we'll close with a few announcements just about what's happening at the church right now and this week as we enter into Holy Week together and lead up to Easter. So if you know someone from our church or a friend who doesn't have Facebook, just want you to know this will be immediately available live, or not live, this will be immediately available, sent out on our e-newsletter right after this service, so that way everybody in the church has access to it, and it'll be uploaded to our YouTube page and all of that. Well, the best way to begin is to read our text for this morning. So if you have your Bibles out, and we hope you do, you can turn to John chapter 8, and we're going to be in verses 31 to 47. And as I read, feel free to, share maybe a word or a phrase that the Holy Spirit seems to be highlighting to you as I read the text. You can just share that in the comments section, and our pastors will be interacting with you as you do that. But John chapter 8, verses 31 through 47. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." So my title for this mini message or devotional this morning is Set Free. So here in this text, we get a very similar teaching and dichotomy from Jesus as we did last week. Lots of what I said last week applies this week as well in terms of just breaking it down into simple truths in these complex times. And hopefully we're asking big questions about life these days. Last week, Jesus made it clear we either die in our sins, what we call the way of death, or we die in Christ, the way of life, and therefore not in our sins, but in His presence. Now, Jesus lays out a similar message this week with just different terminology, namely that we are either slaves to sin and therefore apart from God, or we are set free from sin. And those are my two points: slave to sin, set free from sin. Those who are slaves to sin are those who hear the truth of Jesus, but not fully put their trust in Him and choose to live according to their own truth instead. But those who are set free from sin are those who put all their trust in Jesus and His work on the cross for our sins. And, you know, there's really no middle grounds with Jesus. It should catch our attention that He gave this teaching, according to verse 31, to the Jews who had believed in Him. But it's obvious from the context that this belief was superficial, meaning maybe they had made a formal profession of faith, but they were not really heeding the truth that Jesus spoke. They were still slaves to their sins and sinful ways of thinking. I mean, just listen to the warnings or the words that Jesus gives here. Verse 34, slaves to sin. You have no room for my word, verse 37. You are unable to hear what I say, verse 43. Because I tell the truth, you do not believe in me, verse 45. But these people hanging around Jesus were so convinced of what they thought they knew, they were unable to hear the truth Jesus was proclaiming. But Jesus gives another option to being a slave to sin, and that is that we can be set free through Him. Verse 32, the truth will set you free. And the context is from sin. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Verse 36. So friends, and all those listening right now, are you a slave to sin or set free from sin? And here's the most important truth this morning. We cannot set ourselves free from sin. Jesus says here in verse 34, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And we know according to Romans 3 and other scriptures that, you know, we've all sinned. No one is exempt, and therefore we've all been a slave to sin at some point. Whether a slave to greed or power or lust or lies or anger or envy, personal pursuits, self-interest, the pursuit or idolization of romance, career, title, status. I mean, the list could just go on and on. On the most basic level, we have not been who God created, called, and designed us to be. That is to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we cannot set ourselves free from this power of sin, but Jesus can. And when we put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus, we move from being slaves to sin to, as Paul says in Romans 6, slaves to God and to righteousness. Does that mean that we never sin? Of course not. But sin is no longer our master. It no longer controls us. We're no longer slaves to sin because we are children of God, set free by His life, death, and resurrection. I just happened to be in Romans 6 through 8 this week in my New Testament Bible reading. And what's interesting is that Paul basically repeats all the teachings of Jesus in John 8, just in his own terminology in Romans. And he uses a lot of the same words like dying in our sin, being a slave to sin, but being alive in Christ and set free. But here's what he says in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to God's family. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So friends, he's not far away. He's dying. He literally died, but he's dying to take your sins away and instead make us children of God through the Spirit of adoption. And I want you to know he's here right now, and he and his truth will set you free this morning. You've maybe heard or thought of the truth that in this, you know, time of social distancing, there's one person that doesn't apply to. And that, of course, is Jesus through the ministry of his Holy Spirit. The close personal ministry of Christ through the Spirit. Jesus is always near to those who call on him. He's not keeping his distance from us during this time or from you this morning. So whether you're struggling with being alone in your home, or you have family around you but you feel so alone as you struggle to parent or take care of a loved one, let's just take a moment to recognize the closeness and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let's invite Jesus right now through prayer as we prepare our hearts for communion. So I'm just going to ask wherever you are in your living room, your kitchen table as I am, you just close your eyes and let's enter into prayer together as a church. Our Father, we come to you through the Son and by the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your nearness. Right now, we welcome you into our living rooms, our dining room tables, wherever we might be. We know because of your Spirit that we are never alone. So just take a moment to recognize his presence. Invite him into the space that you're in. Maybe you've had a hectic morning like we have. But just invite him in, invite his presence. Lord, we confess that we were once slaves to sin. So go ahead and confess your sins, that you once did or have followed the way of sin. So Lord, we confess that we were once slaves to sin, but we thank you for your body and shed blood and the work on the cross that now sets us free. We remember you, your life, death, and resurrection, and your coming in glory. And as we share in communion together your supper, we long not only to remember what you did, but to intimately enter into your work and your forgiveness as children of God at your wide, beautiful, hospitable table of mercy. Amen. Well, friends, if you've confessed your sins, please know that God is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So here at Oceanside Community Church, even online, we practice open communion, by which we mean that we follow the Bible in welcoming everyone to the table. Doesn't matter if you're a member of this church or not, doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a long time or not, you are welcome to this table. And we believe that includes children as well. So parents, if you're comfortable, we would love for you to include your children in this. I'm going to take a minute to talk to the kids here and with you as well. So kids, we're about to celebrate communion, and perhaps you've done it before and perhaps you haven't. But this is a really cool time that the Bible tells us to do. Like when Jesus was at his Last Supper, he gave bread to his friends and wine to his friends. And he said that when we do this, when we eat the bread and drink the juice, we remember his death, and it helps us know how much he loves us. So we're going to do that today. We are going to eat some bread. And here's the bread that we have here.
That's yummy.
Yeah, got some bread. And his bread reminds us of what?
Body.
His body. And his body was broken for us. And then we're also going to drink from the cup. And this cup has juice in it. Your cup might have water in it. But it reminds us of what?
Blood.
His blood, and his blood that was shed for us to cleanse us from our sins. So let's just pray a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for us. We thank you that you gave us freedom, that you gave us good relationship with God by making a way for us to be with you. And thank you also that you rose from the dead and gave us the chance to be alive with you too. We thank you. Amen.
So kids, as well as everyone else, we have confessed our sins together and against God and against neighbor. And so brothers and sisters, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. And so on behalf of Christ, we offer you this invitation to come to this table. You who have much faith and you who would like to have more. You who have followed Jesus, and those of you who feel as if you have failed. You who have been here often, and maybe especially those of you who have not been in a long time, maybe never, and certainly not in this way, come. It is Christ who invites us to meet him here. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit, meet us here through the bread as well as through the cup. Let's just take a moment of quiet reflection to remember his death, resurrection, and his coming in glory. Well, the gospel writer Matthew tells us that while they were still eating, that Jesus, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And so church, go ahead and feed on him in your hearts by faith. And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of this vine again until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And so we say, hallelujah, come, Lord Jesus, let us drink the cup with thanksgiving. Well, we're glad that the Lord is with us and binds us together through communion, even when we're distant and far. And this might be a first for you to do it this way. It's a first for us, but we're thankful that God is still with us. So now let's close, just as they closed and left the room that night, singing a hymn of praise together, as the Bible says. And then I'll give some announcements and information about upcoming events this week. But let's sing the doxology together. If you don't know it, then just listen and let the words kind of wash over you. But if you know the doxology, feel free to sing it in your home, whether you're by yourself or have a few people around you. So Hannah will lead us in the doxology.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Well, we want you to know that our vision and mission as a church remains very much alive and very much the same, even though our mediums and our methods are changing. So we encourage you to continue to be a part of that vision and mission and reaching our community. We're actually reaching just as many, if not more, people in our community. You'll hear more this week about how we're providing grocery cards for families in need. We've sent out thousands of dollars of cards to help families we know of that are in need. We're helping families through our Arrington Elementary Breakfast Program to provide Easter dinners for them. We're providing much needed items for the food bank as a church. So continue to give and expand our reach. People are engaging with us as a church through digital ways. So we encourage you to partner with us financially, giving your tithes and offerings to the Lord. And we can't do it without you. And now's an amazing time to invest in the kingdom of God, the one thing we know that will last forever. So let's continue to reach people and change lives together. The ways you can give or the button for it will be sent out right after this in the e-newsletter. Just a couple other announcements so that you know what's happening this week as we enter into Holy Week. Number one, if you need prayer for anything at all, our prayer workers are still available Tuesdays from 10 to 12, not at the church, but over the phone, or you can arrange video. But you can sign up online. There'll be a button in the newsletter as it comes out in just a few moments where you can just sign up for Tuesday prayer, sign up for a 30-minute time, and we would just love to pray with you in that way. Holy Week is this week on Tuesday. Lydia is going to be sharing a devotional with you all, and she'll kind of bring us into Holy Week. And then on Friday at 11 a.m., the Good Friday service will be sent out, and we'll also have a watch party for those who want to watch it together at the same time on Facebook, but it'll be sent out through all of our media channels. And then Easter will be 10 a.m., Easter morning. Again, there'll be a watch party for that. It'll be sent out early in the morning so that you can watch it anytime. But if you want to join us at 10, you can do that. And really encourage you to invite your friends. There's a Facebook group, Facebook event page up where you can go and invite your friends, say you're coming. And what a great opportunity to invite others into worshiping Jesus on Easter Sunday. And then the very last thing for those who are members, our annual general meeting is in 2 weeks, April 19th. It's at 11 a.m. It's going to be via Zoom, so after our morning service on that Sunday. So this is your official 2-week notice for that. So it promises to be an amazing week together. It's going to be a different kind of Holy Week leading up to Easter, but we still hope that we can come together and be as engaged as possible and interacting with each other. So we can't wait to enter into that with you. It's been a joy to invite you into our home this morning and to be in yours as well. So again, you can share this with those who weren't able to make the live version. And hope that it was a special time for you to share in communion together with the body of Christ. We love you so much, church. We miss you so much. Words can't express just how much we miss being together. But let's continue in faith and hope and love together. So we love you. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for commenting and interacting. And we'll be in touch this week. Bye, church.